You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. For those of you who are new to our channel, we welcome you aboard. Thank you for taking some time to listen to our show. For those of you who are loyal listeners, we welcome you back. We're excited to talk more Yankees baseball with you. In case you don't already know, you can find us on social media, on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast, on Twitter, at Pinstripe Talk ND, and on Instagram by searching up Delahanty Media. Our show is available on all podcasting platforms, so check it out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, our show is there available for you. And our new feature is our YouTube channel. If you're watching on our YouTube page, hit that little red button on the corner of your screen. Subscribe to our channel. You'll get all the latest updates regarding the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, the Let's Debate Podcast, and much more. Now, as you probably already know, our last couple of shows were a little bit different in content. Our first show of the offseason was our Should They Stay or Should They Go regarding the Yankees pitching from 2020. Our last show talked about some trade proposals that were brought up by some of the popular news writers around the area. And today we're back on track in terms of the Should They Stay or Should They Go series. Today we're going to cover the catchers and the infielders. And then our next show will feature our outfielders. And what we're going to do, in case you're unfamiliar with us, is we're going to break down each player and give reasons why maybe it's time the Yankees move on from them, or maybe the Yankees should keep them around for the near future and beyond. Now, I don't want to hold anybody up, and I'm excited to get into this one. So what we're going to do is we're going to start behind the plate. And I think the most intriguing name that we're going to talk about in terms of the New York Yankees today is Gary Sanchez. And we all know Gary Sanchez had his struggles in 2020. This guy was coming off an all-star year in 2019. Obviously, doesn't hit for a high average, but the guy does have a tremendous amount of power. But 2020 was not the year of Gary Sanchez. Sanchez struggled both offensively and defensively. The Yankees have a new catching coach who tried to put Sanchez in a new position to help him receive the ball better. It was just a mess. And you know what? When Gary came up, he lit the world on fire. The Yankees had a guy who had 30-plus home run potential and figured that over time, he would grow into a better defender. Well, simply, that hasn't been the case. Gary will be entering his age 28 season, and he's coming off a year in which he hit 147 with 10 home runs and 24 RBIs. Now, to put that into context, Gary played in 49 regular season games this year, struck out 64 times. Of his 14 of his 23 hits actually went for extra bases. And now you're looking at the same guy that just a year ago hit 232, 32 home runs, 77 RBIs, and was an all-star like I mentioned earlier. One thing about Gary is he's going to strike out a lot. In 155 games over the last 2 years, struck out 189 times. And the Yankees lineup features a lot of guys that are feast or famine. They do strike out a lot. So the Yankees are in a really tough predicament here with Gary. Obviously, he's not a free agent for a couple of years. He's arbitration eligible, but they have to make a decision. Is it time to move on from Gary Sanchez? During the postseason, we saw Kyle Higashioka, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, take over the role as the team's starting catcher. Why? Because Higashioka is better defensively. And let's put it into context. If Gary's not hitting and Higashioka can give you a little something behind the plate, you're going to opt, especially in the playoffs, for the guy who's better defensively because every out matters. Gary didn't prove that he could catch during big situations for this team. And I think that the Yankees are at that point where they're ready to part ways with him, who they at one point thought was probably going to be arguably their best prospect of that core that came up around the same time. Is it wise to move on from Gary Sanchez right now? Probably not. The reason being is his trade value is extremely, extremely low. Now, if you would have sold high, if Gary was coming off a year where he hit 250 and club 30 home runs and the Yankees thought, you know what, we can't salvage this guy. This guy's not our future behind the plate. It becomes a different story. But unfortunately, I think that Gary's time has run out in New York, and I think that he does need a change of scenery. Is he a special talent? Absolutely. But I think there are so many kinks in his game that if the Yankees are looking to win now, they cannot afford to have behind the plate. I think that for the Yankees, they're going to look at other options. They're going to look at platoon options. They're going to look at anything else to kind of shore up behind the plate. They're probably thinking, you know, we have enough offense to carry through. Even if we bring in a catcher who doesn't have as much power as Gary or offensive potential, but plays better behind the plate, it will help us in the long run. So personally, I don't think I would sell low on Gary. I think that there's a high ceiling on him. I think that he's going to bounce back in this league, but I don't think it's going to happen in New York. I think Cashman will try to find the trade where he acquires a player that, you know, is in a similar situation that Gary's in, that he could bring back, that can hopefully help the Yankees win ball games in 2021. But I just can't see a scenario where Gary Sanchez is the Yankee starting catcher in 2021. Now, let's move on to the Yankees' other backstop in Kyle Higashioka. Higashioka's entering his age 31-year-old season, coming off a year where he played in 16 regular season games, hit 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, became the team's starting catcher in the postseason, and Gerrit Cole's personal catcher behind the plate. And he's a guy that I think the Yankees really just love his defense and what he brings to the table. Obviously, he has a lot of power. We've seen the power he's capable of. But I just don't think the offensive presence that Higashioka brings is steady enough to be an everyday catcher. And let's face it, age 31, he's getting up there in age for a catcher. How long can you really rely on Higashioka to be your everyday guy? I think that obviously he'll be back. The Yankees have club control until 2025 with him. He'll be back in the mix. But I do think that the Yankees will bring in another catcher, maybe a James McCann, a Yadier Molina, somebody who they can mix and match and platoon behind the plate. Somebody who, when they platoon, they won't lose much defensively. But Higashioka proved his worth. Defensively, he was a standout. Offensively, he gave the Yankees a little something throughout the year. So I think that Higashioka has secured his role as at least the team's backup moving into 2021. Maybe there's a possibility he'll compete for the starting job in spring, but if I was a betting man, I would say that the Yankees would feel a lot more confident if they could bring in another catcher to carry the bulk of the duties and let Higashioka split time with them. Now, another very interesting guy that the Yankees hold is Miguel Andujar. Didn't really get much time in 2020, played in just 21 regular season games. And after finishing second in the American League Rookie of the Year voting, it seemed like Andujar was going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Yankees lineup. Unfortunately, Andujar suffered a season-ending injury in 2019, only played in 12 games, and ever since has struggled to find a place in the Yankees lineup. One of the reasons that is because of Gio Urshela, who really emerged as the team's everyday third baseman. And the other issue is, Andujar's a guy without a position. He plays third base, but defensively, he's a below-average defender. The Yankees have tried to put him in left field. They've tried to play him a little bit in right field. And it just seems like that experiment is too much of a risk to do on an everyday type of basis. And they don't have the DH. Because obviously, Giancarlo Stanton's big contract is going to take up the bulk of those at-bats. So for them, what do you really do with Andujar? He's a guy that obviously proved he could hit at the big league level. It's been a while since 2018 when he had that monster year, but he's still a guy that could be intriguing to teams. He's only entering his age 26-year-old season. He's not arbitration eligible until 2022. He won't hit the free agent market until 2025. I think that this is the offseason where the Yankees finally part ways with Andujar and say, you know what, we love what he could bring to the table offensively, but unfortunately, we don't have a spot for him defensively, and we're going to move on. Maybe he could bring you back a couple of relievers that could help you. Maybe he could help fill a void in another spot or bring back some prospects that maybe in a year or two could help the big league club. But I think that for Miguel Andujar, a change of scenery may be the best bet because getting everyday at-bats seems to be the biggest thing for him. When he doesn't get those everyday at-bats, we've seen that he has struggled offensively. So I think a more consistent role would really do wonders for Miguel Andujar. The only problem is it doesn't look like that's going to happen in the Bronx. Thairo Estrada, another guy who was limited in action, 26 games out of the team's 60, he's a guy that has a lot of versatility, and it seems like the Yankees really like what he could bring to the table as well. Only entering his age 25-year-old season, really didn't hit much in 2020, but he's a guy that the Yankees have used when they've dealt with some of their big injuries. Let's face it, Gleyber Torres has been down with injuries. LeMahieu and Duhar has missed time. So the Yankees have had need for middle infield and corner infield help. And that's where guys like Estrada and Tyler Wade kind of fit into the equation. Now, Estrada is not arbitration eligible until 2023. He won't hit the free agent market until 2026. So it's a safe bet to say that unless he's used as a trade piece during the offseason, Estrada will be back. And essentially what he does is add depth to the Yankees' middle infield. And hopefully we'll have a minor league season where he could get some more seasoning, especially if he's not on the active roster. So I would keep Estrada around. I like what he brings to the table. I think that you can never have too much depth in the middle infield. And then you just have to hope that a minor league season does happen where you can get him every day at bats and keep him fresh and ready to go. Another guy that, you know, I really like, and unfortunately, just like an Andujar type of situation, he really didn't get many at bats because when the guy in front of you is having an MVP caliber year, it's kind of hard to pry some at bats from him. And that's Mike Ford. Ford appeared in 29 games, hit 135, only 2 home runs, 11 RBIs. He's a guy entering his age 28-year-old season. And with the Yankees' depth at the right-handed hitting side of the lineup, the Yankees do need a left-handed hitting presence on the everyday basis. And Ford's a guy that I love his swing because I think it fits Yankee Stadium very nicely. The only problem is, for the Yankees, similar to Andujar and other players we're going to talk about today, the Yankees' DH spot is pretty clogged up at the moment. So unless you trade a Giancarlo Stanton, which is very unlikely, or you trade a Luke Voit, which could be a possibility, there really aren't many at-bats for Mike Ford for his taking. Now, do I think the Yankees keep him around? Absolutely. I think that they like his power. They like what he brings to the clubhouse. He seems like he's a very good clubhouse presence for this club. But I don't know if the at-bats are going to be there. And he's another guy that I think, if you were able to put him in the minor leagues and stash him a little bit, he can get every day at-bats and stay consistent and stay fresh. So when that time comes, when the Yankees big league club needs him, he'll be ready to hit. And he's a guy that has a lot of power. I think that they're not ready to give up on him. And 2020 is a hard year to kind of judge anybody because of the shortened season. A lot of the top names in the game had bad years, and you can't write them off as, oh, they're done, they're washed up. Ford's a guy that has a lot of talent. I think he'll be back in 2021. It just depends on what kind of role he'll play, given how this Yankee team shapes up this offseason. The guy that everybody wants back, and the guy that was an absolute steal 2 off-seasons ago, DJ LeMahieu. 2020, American League batting champion, finished 3rd in the American League MVP voting. 10 home runs, 27 RBIs, hit 364. And this guy missed time during the season as well. Played in 50 games, was Silver Slugger Award winner. The guy has been unbelievable since they acquired him. And to think they got him for a 2-year, $24 million deal 2 off-seasons ago is an absolute steal. Now, LeMahieu's entering his age 32-year-old season, and Yankee fans around the world are saying, you know, it's a no-brainer to re-sign this guy. But I'm going to err to the side of caution here. There's a couple of scenarios that could play out with regards to LeMahieu. Number one, I don't think that the Yankees will win if this goes to a bidding war. If you have teams like the Mets, the Red Sox, or other teams that have high cap numbers that they can afford to bring in LeMahieu, I could see teams giving him a 4 to 5 year deal at excess of $20 million. Josh Donaldson got 4 years and over $90 million, and I think LeMahieu's a better player than Donaldson was at that point. So as crazy as it may sound, unless he gets a hometown discount, I think LeMahieu's going elsewhere. Now, obviously, the Yankees love him, and LeMahieu said, if you watch the American League MVP show, that New York was a perfect fit for him. But you have to also take into consideration, it doesn't seem like the Yankees want to go over the luxury tax. If they have other plans in mind, say maybe trading for a Francisco Lindor, they're not going to be able to afford keeping LeMahieu and bringing in a guy like Lindor because they want to stay under the luxury tax. Now, there are scenarios that I play in my head, you know, about this whole LeMahieu situation. Number one, they could re-sign him with the intent of having him play second base, which I think would be a logical idea because, obviously, the guy's been great. If you could get him for a 3 or 4 year deal, I think you jump on it. But then it leaves Gleyber Torres at shortstop, and we all know that everybody's been a little concerned about Gleyber being the everyday shortstop. You could also re-sign him with the intent of trading Luke Voit and having him play first base every day, which could be another scenario that may work out for the Yankees. In that scenario, you could have Mike Ford have some reps at first and let LeMahieu play a little third, a little second, a little first, play him around the diamond like you saw a lot of in 2019. So the third option, and I know a lot of Yankee fans aren't going to like this, is you let him walk and you trade for a shortstop and move Gleyber back to second base. This may be one of the more logical ideas the Yankees have this offseason, especially if LeMahieu's price tag goes way too above where they want to go. If it was up to me, I would bring back LeMahieu and I would find a place for him. Why? Because the way he hits and what he brings to this Yankee lineup is very rare. In a lineup full of guys that strike out a lot and don't put the ball in play, LeMahieu is a great contact hitter and a guy who should age very well given the way he plays the game. I think it's a no-brainer to bring him back, and I think the Yankees should do anything in their power to make sure this guy stays a Yankee at least for the next 3 to 4 years. He's been such a valuable asset to this team, and you have to say to yourself, where would this team be without DJ LeMahieu these past 2 years? They definitely wouldn't even be close to what they were without him. So I would bring him back. I think he's a guy you have to put a high priority on. Keep him. But I do think there are other options if the price tag does get a little too high. Now, speaking of Gleyber, who doesn't love that smile that he has on the screen here? Gleyber Torres entering his age 24-year-old season. Not arbitration eligible until 2022. Free agent to be in 2025. The Yankees have a lot of hopes for him. Obviously, the guy can hit 38 home runs a year ago. 2020 wasn't his year, missed some time, but hit .243, only 3 home runs, 16 RBIs. The big thing about Gleyber, his defense, and where does he project moving forward? Is he an everyday shortstop? Is he an everyday second baseman? I think this is the offseason. The Yankees really have to decide what they're going to do with this young, promising talent. Now, let's look into it a little bit, shall we? Gleyber, who had 9 errors in 2020, people say, oh, you know what, it's because he's playing shortstop. That may not be the case, and I'm going to give you some numbers as to what I'm looking at in terms of Gleyber Torres. Now, mind you, I'm going to read off my paper because I wrote it down. He's a career 960 fielder at the big league level. In 2018, he had 17 errors, 12 of which came to second base in 109 games. Bigger sample, obviously played a little short, but the majority of the errors came at second base. In 2019, he made 20 errors. Remember, he started the year as a shortstop with Didi Gregorius out. 11 of those errors came at short, 9 at second base. And in 2020, he made 9 errors in 40 games, all at the shortstop position. Now, I think that people are more willing to be okay with the errors when he's hitting. Nobody was really complaining when he was slugging 38 home runs and bringing in 100 RBIs. You know, I think it's a situation where it's more hidden when he's playing second base because shortstop's such an important position. So I think that the move to shortstop full-time and the pressure of being the shortstop of the New York Yankees does play into this situation. And let's face it, when you're not hitting, it rains, it pours. So for a guy like Gleyber, you know, you're looking at the situation, you're saying to yourself, you know, defensively, he hasn't really been good at either position. But second base seems to be a little more tolerable given the fact of what he brings to the table offensively. Do I think he's the everyday shortstop? And let me just go back because I'm going to say that I was wrong. I've said for a while now that I thought Gleyber Torres was the shortstop of the future for the New York Yankees. I was really high on what he brings to the table, and I thought that he was the right piece to be the everyday shortstop. However, I'm very weary about his defensive woes, and I would much rather have him play second base. And that's where a guy like LeMahieu comes into the equation. what the Yankees do with LeMahieu is going to dictate what they're able to do with Gleyber Torres. If they bring back LeMahieu, Gleyber's going to be your shortstop unless they trade him. Or LeMahieu goes to first, they trade Voit. There's so many different situations that can occur. But obviously, Gleyber looks to be a future piece of this team. Unless you get wowed away in a trade offer where you could get a certified superstar that can be a much bigger upgrade to this team, I don't think the Yankees are going to be willing to part with Gleyber Torres, especially given the amount of club control they have on him. I think 2021, he's going to bounce back offensively. There is a lot, and I mean a lot, in the tank for Gleyber Torres. I just think that 2020 was not a good year for him and a bunch of other players throughout the league. I think that 2021, given that we have a full season, he'll bounce back. But if I was a betting man, I would say that it's going to be at second base. I think that the Yankees understand that project is probably over. I don't know who will be the shortstop. I don't know how LeMahieu factors out in this scenario, but I think that they're going to transition him back and tell him, you know what, let's groom you into an elite second baseman. Let's get you those reps and that consistency to make you one of the best at the game at that given position. Now, to somebody who doesn't need any defensive help, and that's Gio Urshela. Guy was an AL Gold Glove finalist this year, played in 43 regular season games, really seemed to come to his own as a member of the New York Yankees. Gio will be entering his age 29-year-old season, and in two seasons with the Yankees, he's been outstanding. .310 average, 27 home runs, 104 RBIs. He's the perfect example of a guy who a change of scenery does well for and does wonders for. And let's not forget, he's best friends with Francisco Lindor. So if the Yankees think that they have any chance of getting Lindor, whether it's trade or free agency next year, if he hits the free agent market, Urshela may be the big piece that could help lure Lindor to the Bronx. I don't think Urshela is going anywhere. I think the Yankees love what he brings defensively. When you watch him, he's like a human highlight reel. I know the defensive metrics don't necessarily stand out for him, and they say otherwise, but this guy is tremendous at what he does. It's so fun watching him on an everyday basis, and he saves runs for the Yankees pitchers, and he's a real big asset for this Yankee team. So if I was looking at this Yankee lineup, I would definitely say pencil him in as your third baseman come opening day on the 2021 opening night. Now, Luke Voit, he's another guy off a monster, I mean monster year, .277 average, led the league in home runs with 22, drove in 52 RBIs, played in 56 regular season games, even though he was dealing with a foot injury. The guy has been nothing but great. And again, another trade where Brian Cashman got back somebody who really found a home in New York. He'll be entering his age 30-year-old season. And I hate to say this, but I think this is a situation where Brian Cashman tries to sell high. Because if you look at Luke Voit, what is one thing that the Yankees lineup has a lot of? The Yankees have a lot of power and a lot of guys that strike out a lot. Right now, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Voit, they all fit that bill. So I think that the Yankees are understanding that that recipe doesn't necessarily work come the postseason. You have to put the ball in play. And they're going to try to make this lineup more contact-friendly than it's been in years past. And I think that Voit has the ability to bring back some quality pieces that can help this Yankees team win now. His ceiling's never going to be higher in terms of trade value. Right now is the peak of his trade value. The guy has club control, not a free agent until 2025. So I think he's a very enticing piece for teams looking for some power. You mean to tell me that the Yankees can't get maybe a young controllable starting pitcher for him, or a young controllable reliever, maybe even a left-handed hitting presence in the lineup that could help them in some way, shape, or form? I think this is the offseason where Cashman looks at his options, and if the right deal comes about, Voit is going to be traded. I think it opens up more opportunities for the Yankees to bring back LeMahieu, play him in other positions, maybe even bring in a left-handed hitting player who maybe could play multiple positions. But I think that there is doubt about Voit being on the opening day roster, and that's just because his ceiling and his value is so high right now. I think that Cashman's aware of it, and I think that the Yankees are in that situation where they have to determine, was this a one-hit type of wonder with him, or is this something he can sustain over a long period of time? And I think that they're going to bet that it's a short period type of thing, and they're going to try to sell high on him if they can. Because I think that they understand their lineup has flaws, and trading him helps kind of clear up one of those flaws. Strikeouts do not help you. Not putting the ball in play don't help you. Obviously, when guys like him and Judge and Stanton are hitting long balls, you appreciate it, you love it. But the rest of the time, it does not help the team when the strikeouts are racking up. So if you're looking at this, a controllable, somewhat young player coming off a career year, I think he's a very possible trade candidate for the Yankees this offseason. And our final infielder, as I transition over to him, is Tyler Wade. Tyler Wade, who would have ever thought that this guy would play in 52 games this year? No disrespect to Tyler. None whatsoever. But given the Yankees roster and their talent and their depth, who would have thought that they would have dealt with so many injuries that propelled him into the everyday lineup? Now, Wade has two key features that really stand out. Speed and defense. He's a very good defender at multiple positions, which is very valuable for a team like the Yankees. Obviously, they do have their defensive struggles, but a guy like Wade could play second, short, third. Heck, he could even play the outfield if you need him to. So the versatility does really help him out. And he's a guy, another young guy, going into his age 26-year-old season. Yankees have club control over him. I think he's going to be back, and I think that he'll compete for the backup utility job just like he did this year. Now, a couple of things do stand out to me in regards to Wade that do concern me. In four seasons with the Yankees, has a 190 batting average. And I understand it's a 161 game kind of sample, but the sample's getting bigger. And it doesn't seem like that is changing throughout the bigger sample size. And obviously, speed is a great thing to have. But how good is speed when you don't get on base? So that is something that Wade really has to hone in on and rectify, because if this continues, I don't see a long-term spot for him on this Yankee team. Yes, the defensive versatility is there. Yes, the speed is at an elite level. We saw what he was able to do on the bases, but he has to get on base in order to showcase that speed. So looking at him in the future, I think he really has to start getting on base and really using that big league experience to his advantage to say, you know what, I belong here. I'm a very capable offensive player, and kind of rectify those issues that he's had at the plate so he could be an offensive contributor as well as a defensive contributor on this team. Do I expect them back? Obviously, I think the Yankees like what he brings to the table, and I think that you're just waiting for him to break out offensively. Because if he can, even if he plays 3 to 4 days a week, if he gets on base and steals some bases and does the little things, it will really help this Yankee team over the next couple of years. Before we wrap up today's show, I want to give a special shout out to Dugout Mugs. And in case you don't know what Dugout Mugs is, they are a company that creates mugs that look like bats. And I'm going to show you mine. This is mine that they sent me from interacting with them on social media. During the World Series, they were talking to some fans and I tweeted them and I told them I didn't have a mug. So they hooked me up with that beautiful mug, handcrafted New York Yankee style mug. Now with the holidays coming up, I don't know a better gift for a baseball fan than one of these mugs. You could get New York Yankees. You could get any major league team. Heck, they even customize mugs. So if you're looking for that perfect gift for somebody, check out their website. You will definitely be amazed. And they have really good prices for how good the product actually is. If you don't know how to locate them, go to the website right to the side of me on the screen, dugoutmugs.com. You definitely will not be disappointed. As we wrap up today's show, reminder, follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk Podcast on Facebook, at Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter, and on Instagram, Delahanty Media. If you haven't done so already and you're watching on our YouTube stream, hit that subscribe button. All the subscribers are appreciated. And again, listen to our show audio side on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there and also on Spotify. Our show is available on all podcasting platforms, so make sure you check it out. Our next episode will feature our Should They Stay or Should They Go for our outfielders. We'll wrap up that segment. And then again, throughout the offseason, we'll continue to bring you all the latest news and updates regarding the New York Yankees. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty, and this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. Thank you all for tuning into today's show. We look forward to talking some more Yankees baseball with you in the near future. As always, let's go Yankees. Take care, everyone.